I'd like to read now from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. This morning, we began trying to study about as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that expression of being a son of God has reference to an elevation that God's people can reach when they are faithful in their service to God. If we come out from among the ungodly and we live separate, then we are elevated to that of sonship. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Word of God is telling us to put off the old man and put on the new man. That is a responsibility that the children of God have, is to walk different than the way that the rest of the world walks. Beginning in verse 25 now, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, putting away lying," he's going to give in every of these, each of these verses, he's going to give now, stop doing this, but don't just stop doing this, start doing this. I think sometimes in our lives that we spend and we concentrate on thou shalt not, but we don't get started on the thou shalt. We don't start doing the things that we need to be doing. It's one thing to stop doing things that are bad, but it's just as important that once we stop doing bad things, that we begin to do godly things, live very godly lives. So he says, wherefore, putting away lying, instead of lying, what does he say? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now listen again to verse 28. He's going to contrast here. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Then in verse 29, he gives another contrast. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then he says in verse 30, which is kind of a summary verse, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, God's children can grieve the Holy Spirit. You notice that he is speaking to people that are sealed by the Spirit of God. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? If we're not doing those things that he's just mentioned, if we don't stop speaking bad things and start speaking good things, if we don't stop stealing and rather labor to have, to give to those that don't have, if we don't turn from putting off the old man to putting on the new man, then we grieve the Holy Spirit. You see the difference in this morning. We were trying to concentrate on following the leadership of the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you do these things that are mentioned in verses 25 through 29, you are being led by the Spirit of God. You're following the leadership of the Spirit of God. You're pleasing God, and you become a son of God if you do the things that are described here. But if you don't, then you are grieving the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want you to hear, there are several expressions that talk about what happens when the people of God do not follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. And the first one we're looking at tonight is grieving the Holy Spirit. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 31, he continues to tell us how to not grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore, now what did we talk about being led by this morning? Being led by what? Being led by the Holy Spirit, and that means that we're supposed to follow the Holy Spirit. And now in this passage, which is basically the same truth, but the other side of the coin, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I want us tonight to pray that God will help us to realize the seriousness of grieving the Holy Spirit. And not only grieving the Holy Spirit, there's another expression found in the letter to the saints of God at Thessalonica, where the Word of God says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Anytime that we quench the Spirit, that's the same thing as grieving the Holy Spirit. Do you think that you have ever quenched the Spirit? Do you think that you have ever grieved the Holy Spirit? In studying with Brother Michael Hadaway this week, last week, up in Gray, Georgia, he and I were talking about the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. And he brought out something that I've never thought about before. He said that we can quench the Spirit in two different ways. And usually when I think about quenching the Spirit or grieving the Spirit, I think about things that are mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 4 and other places where we don't do what we're supposed to be doing that grieves the Spirit, and we are quenching the Spirit if we're not following the leadership of the Spirit. But he pointed out that there's another way that you can quench the Spirit of God. And I know that in the house of God, sometimes I have felt moved to say amen, or I have felt moved as I sat in the congregation. I have felt moved and I felt led by the Spirit of God that I needed to say something when it was over. A lot of time, Brother Neil, when he goes out of the house of God, he has a climax scripture that would have been wonderful for him to have said to the congregation, because it was a scripture that I was not able to bring out many times. It's one I just didn't have time to get to. But sometimes it's something I'd never thought about. And I thought, oh, Brother Neil, I wish you had said that to the whole congregation, because it summarized and it explained everything that I'd been trying to say in one simple sentence or a verse of scripture. And likewise, brethren, I believe that we need to not quench the Holy Spirit in all different kinds of ways. The Spirit of God leads us, and sometimes we don't do what the Spirit of God leads us to do, and when we don't do that, we're grieving the Spirit, or we are quenching the Spirit. Now, Brother Michael Hadaway pointed out another way that I had not thought about. I've thought about all those things that I've just mentioned, but I had never thought about another way that we quench the Spirit. There are two ways that you quench a fire. One way that you quench a fire is that you put water on it, or you put flour, or you put something else on the fire. You suffocate the fire. You put it out. You squelch or put the fire out in that way. But another way that you can quench a fire is just remove the wood or the oxygen from the fire. If you remove the wood or you remove the oxygen, what happens to the fire? It goes out. And likewise, in our lives, if we're not adding things that God has taught us that we need in our lives, if we specifically, let me mention this, if we're not studying the Word of God, we're not adding fuel to the fire. If we're not studying and if we're not praying, then we are quenching the Spirit. Not in an active way, by doing something to quench the Spirit, but we are putting out the fire simply by not adding the fuel that we need in our lives to continue to let the Spirit of God, to let our light shine before men. The only way you can let your light shine is if you keep your fire burning. And the only way that you can keep your fire burning is if fuel, you understand how you need to be replenishing your soul with the Word of God. If you do that, then you will not be quenching the Spirit by not feeding the fire. Go with me to the Old Testament. I want us to see very clearly that children of God, in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, this passage is talking about children of God, is talking about the church, and talking about the church grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit in Thessalonians. I want you to back up to the Old Testament. I want us to see that God's children can and do grieve the Holy Spirit. We do quench the Spirit, and it is a serious problem in our lives. We do not realize. I don't believe you can read and look at the scriptures that are on my heart tonight without you becoming full of fear about the chastening hand of God if we do grieve or quench or vex or lie to the Holy Spirit. the serious matter. In Isaiah chapter 63, look in your Bibles, please, at Isaiah chapter 63. And I want to emphasize again now, we're not talking about people that are not children of God, but we're talking about people who are the children of God and them quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 63, in fact, I'm going to say, and I believe this with all of my heart, that the only people that quench the Spirit and the only people that grieve the Spirit are born again children of God. That's the only ones that the Spirit of God is leading. That's the only one the Spirit of God is moving. That's the only one the Spirit of God is pricking their hearts. The Apostle Paul, his heart had been pricked time and time and time again, and he had kicked against the pricks. You know what he was doing then? He was grieving the Holy Spirit. He was quenching the Spirit while he was kicking against the pricks. In Isaiah now, Isaiah chapter 63, notice beginning in verse 8, and remember now, we're talking about children of God. I want us tonight to see the seriousness. This morning, we looked at the joy that comes to the people of God when they do follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But I want us now to look at what happens when we don't follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. And rather than following the leadership of the Spirit, we grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit, or the expression used here is that we vex the Spirit. Isaiah 63, beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, for He said, surely, this is God speaking, God says, surely, they are, what are the next two words there? They are my people. Are they the people of God that we're talking about here? Surely they are my people. Now what's the next word? Children that will not lie. That's what God said about these people. He says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Brethren, it is frightening when you read the Word of God to realize that people that God has loved and redeemed, people that God has carried, people that God has blessed their lives, that when they rebel against God, it is frightening to see the consequences and how God, who has been our Savior and our Redeemer and our Helper and our Provider and our Father, that He can become our enemy. Do you see that in this passage of Scripture? Do you see that God became their enemy because they rebelled against Him? Brethren, we need to pray that God will help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to quench the Spirit, and not to vex the Holy Spirit, but rather to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. David, when David was up on that rooftop and he looked out and he saw Bathsheba, you think the Spirit of God was right there and warning David? You better not look. Have you ever looked and the Spirit of God warned you, you better not look? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Have you ever had thoughts and you thought, I need to get rid of that thought? And if you'll get rid of the thought, that's following the leadership of the Spirit. If you stop looking, that's following the leadership of the Spirit. But if you continue to look when God's Spirit has warned you not to look and you continue to go in the wrong direction when the Spirit of God has told you, don't do that, if you go that way anyway, then you're going to find that God, your Father, will become your enemy. That's what this passage is teaching us here in Isaiah 63. You go home and study this when you get home and you'll find that this is a very serious matter. I want to look at David, Psalm 51. David had quenched the Spirit. David had vexed the Spirit. Did God rebel against, or rather, did David rebel against God? Did David rebel against God? Did God become his enemy? Did David lose? I'm going to ask you a very serious question here. I'm going to ask you two questions. First of all, did David lose his salvation? Did he lose his eternal salvation because he sinned? No, he did not lose his eternal salvation. But what did he lose? He lost the joy of his salvation, yes. He lost his fellowship with God. He lost the joy of his salvation. And when he began to cry out in Psalm 51, he began to cry out because he had not followed the leadership of the Spirit of God. Instead of doing that, he had grieved the Holy Spirit. He had quenched the Spirit, and he had vexed the Spirit, and he had kicked against the pricks, and he went ahead and did what was wrong anyway. God took away from him the joy of his salvation. Does everybody follow that? Have you ever lost the joy? Are there days in your life that you don't feel the joy of your salvation? That's because we haven't been following the leadership of the Spirit of God as much as we ought to in our lives. I want you to listen now in Psalm 51. Listen in Psalm 51 beginning in verse 10. Here's what David said. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Let me ask you this question. Has he already been born of the Spirit of God? Has he already been born again? Already been born again. Already been serving God. He had fought great battles in the name of the Lord. He had already gone against the lion and the bear, and God had given him great deliverance. He had already gone against Goliath, and God had given him great power. He had gone against the armies of the Philistines, and he had won battle after battle. And then he sinned with Bathsheba. And when he sinned, he lost the joy of his salvation. And so now he says in this psalm, in verse 10, Psalm 51 and verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a," what are the next two words there? "And renew a right spirit within me." Do you ever lose that right spirit? Can you lose that right spirit? Can it almost just seem like it's just gone out? You look at the next verse and you'll see how serious it gets. Verse 11 says, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Do you hear the wording there? David says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David is crying out to God not to take his Holy Spirit from him. He's not talking about losing his eternal salvation, but he's talking about losing fellowship with God, no longer feeling the presence of the Spirit of God, no longer feeling the Spirit of God leave him in his life. And the people of God and a church and a nation, when we rebel against God, God will remove his Spirit from us. David understood that truth, and therefore he cried out to God. He said, "Remove not thy Holy Spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Should that be a prayer that every one of us has on our hearts every day? Is, "Lord, please don't take your Spirit from me. I need your Spirit." And God's response will be, just don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't vex the Spirit. Don't lie to the Spirit. You remember anybody in the Bible that did lie to the Holy Ghost? Lied to the Spirit of God? In Acts chapter 5, you remember how Ananias and Sapphira, they sold what they had, and they claimed they were giving everything to the church and to the house of God. Let's turn and read there in Acts chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 5, and let's see what happened when they lied to the Holy Ghost. Can you lie to the Holy Ghost? Can you grieve the Holy Ghost? Can you quench the Holy Ghost? Can you vex the Holy Ghost? In Acts chapter 5, look in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, the Word of God says, "And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" And then in verse 5, the Scripture says, "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things." What were they realizing? They were realizing the seriousness of, you give me some words, give me some phrases. They were realizing the seriousness of what? In its context, what's the wording here? Lying to the Holy Ghost. What else were they realizing the seriousness of? Vexing the Holy Ghost. What else were they realizing the seriousness of? Grieving the Holy Ghost. What else were they realizing the seriousness of? Quenching the Spirit or quenching the Holy Ghost. What about the wife? Did she get away? Come down to verse 9. Verse 9, Acts 5, verse 9, the Scripture says, "Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit?" To what? To tempt the Spirit of the Lord. "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Is it a serious thing to lie to the Holy Ghost? To vex the Holy Ghost? To grieve the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 7, the Word of God tells us that Stephen was preaching to some fathers or speaking to some Jews that were religious. And he said in Acts 7 verse 51, here's what Stephen said. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." They were resisting the Holy Ghost. Can you resist the Holy Ghost when God is leading you, when God is guiding you, when God is motivating you and teaching you and instructing you by His Word? Can you rebel against God's Word? Can you rebel against the Holy Spirit? Can you vex the Holy Spirit? Indeed we can. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 just a moment, please. Look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 10. A very important passage here. And you probably know most of this by heart, but there's something here that needs to be emphasized again. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Hebrews 10, verse 26. The Word of God says, "If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." I want you to remember those words. If we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for, listen to verse 27, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." If we do what? What would cause this to happen in our lives? If we what? If we sin willfully. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Verse 29 says, "Of how much sorer punishment." That means of how much worse punishment. Is there a punishment worse than death? See, in verse 28, he says, under Moses' law, they were put to death when they sinned willfully. What's he saying now? He's saying there is a worse punishment than death. "Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot," who? "The Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified." Is he sanctified by the blood? Is he a child of God? "He's counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing," and listen to the last expression now, "and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." How do you do despite unto the Spirit of grace? You vex the Spirit. You quench the Spirit. You grieve the Spirit. You lie to the Spirit. You rebel against the Spirit. You kick against the pricks. What's he say after that? He says, "We know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Does anyone here know what blasphemy against the... How many of you have ever heard of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? You go home and read Matthew 12, verse 31, and you'll find that the Word of God speaks of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Brethren, when we sin willfully, when we quench the Spirit, when we grieve the Spirit, when the Spirit of God warns us we better not do something, and we go ahead and do it anyway, we have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. And there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. May God help us to realize the seriousness of rebelling or quenching or vexing the Holy Spirit is my prayer for Christ's sake.